Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Steve Butella for Land Academy. Welcome to our Cash Flow from Land show. Today, Jill and I talk about how the holiday season affects the land business.
It's beginning to look like Christmas.
Hey, by the way, this is Jill's favorite time of year, so I have a lot of questions about that. It's not exactly my favorite time.
But I had to do that.
Before we get into all that, let's check in with how acquisitions are going, Jill. It's December, early December. What do you got on your plate?
I have people giving me land.
Every day. You have people giving you land?
Pretty much. I mean, maybe it's a cash flow thing for them right now, but yeah. I got people calling me back multiple times to say, hey, are we still on? Do you want this? And I'm like, I feel so bad because I'm just saying, yes, I do. You know, bear with me. I can't get to it today. You know, it's...
Give us some raw ballpark numbers because I want to talk about this holiday season thing. Like how many properties are in your list that you need to address or purchase or close? And, you know, give us a couple properties that stick in your mind. Properties that you're just licking your lips over.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's this one. It's Taos. There's one that's not a big lot, but it's an awesome lot.
Taos, New Mexico.
And I just love that area. And myself, here I am getting emotional about it, but don't worry, folks. I'm not buying it for me. I'm going to give it away or I'm going to sell it or something. So I love
Taos too, by the way.
I do.
Of all the property, the thousands and thousands of properties that I've ever purchased all over the country, there are properties in Taos that I have kept. You know about that little list on the server?
What little list?
There's a little list on the server of properties that I purchased and I keep.
Is that kind of like you as a man? You have your own separate little cash bank account somewhere that nobody knows about?
What separate bank account?
Thank you. Anyway, hey, what's that in the corner? That's a safe. You don't need to know about that.
So anyway, what's on your list, Jill? What's on your acquisition list?
Yeah, so this Taos one that I'm kind of excited about. And then I have a new one that just came in.
Well, wait, what are you buying? How much are you going to buy for?
Oh, a couple $100. It's just I'm trying to remember off the top of my head the size. I think it's an acre.
Yeah.
It's in an area that traditionally are acre lots. Yeah. So I'm going to pick it up for...
What's it worth? What's it worth in our silly world?
In our silly world, hey, if I really wanted to sit on that, I mean, if I want to do it all right, I could sell it for $2,500 to sell an acre in Taos. That's nothing.
For cash. Yeah, we've got several terms properties up there, I know, too. Mm-hmm. We're making a couple $100 a month on each that, you know, I know this is probably even before you. I bought those for the same amount of money, $100 or $200. We're selling for probably $8,000 or
$9,000. That's it. I'm going to go... $200 to $300 probably on this one.
Yeah.
It's really what I'm willing to spend. And because that's more than I often spend, but it's Taos.
What else?
So else. No, this other one's a great 45 acres in Hudspeth County, Texas. So, gosh, I love getting these. I get a couple of these a year that just pop in, and I just really love them. They go so darn fast.
Yeah.
So, and those, I'm needing to spend $3,000-$4,000 spend on those, and I will. I mean, I could double my money tomorrow and quickly.
Yeah, selling for 8 or 10.
I got people lined up. And that's one of the things that I have. You know, this is stuff for people who are just joining us. This is all stuff on our land stay business, which is
our real business.
The real business. that is still, you know, in it, doing it every day, buying and selling land. And I have a list of my top buyers that I've collected over the years. And I get detailed in there too. I'll put in there what states they like, what size they like, you know, all that good stuff. So I can easily scan my list when I get these calls and go, all right, there's five people right there that I know are looking for, you know, anything above 40 acres in this part of the country to call, you know, and so that makes it really easy. So I already know I could double it tomorrow and everybody will be all excited. I haven't decided yet what I want to do with it because I could sell it on terms. That might be a good terms property. I haven't really dug into it and see, but then I could sell it for a lot more. And
if you ran into my office and you said, someone just put a gun to my head. I have 45 acres in Hudspeth, Texas. I'm buying it for $4,000 and you need to sell it within the next half hour so nothing bad will happen. And I could go out on the internet, and we teach this in our program. Mm-hmm. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying this is a reality. And I can't sell it to anybody I've ever talked to or I know before. I have to go out on the internet, find a person.
That.
We should.
That'd
should
be
do
fun.
It, right? Like a video show.
Yeah. Just like going through the motions and watch you pull it up and right. reach out to the people and sell
so
it in
10
minutes.
What I would do? I would go straight to the people who have like-kind property listed on, Land and Farm and Land Watch and sites like that. Maybe even Zillow and Trulia if it got to down to the last 10 minutes, which it wouldn't. But mm-hmm. find people that own property or represent owners for properties in those areas. And I would contact them and say, I got a heck of a deal for you. And I think we could sell it inside of 30 minutes.
I'm sure that is true.
So again, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that's how easy this is. Because I'm saying this because at some point in this podcast, we're going to talk about the holidays.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. But totally serious.
We
should do that.
One of the big questions I get is, is, you know, how do you build up an A-list? How do you build up a buyer list?
Right.
So and if this works for houses too, send them an offer they can't refuse. It's just too great. You'll have a customer for life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that's cool. I mean, that's that typical, you know, I cheated. I looked at on the server before we started this podcast to see what's in there, and there's a lot of amazing properties in there.
Mm-hmm.
Those, I think, stick out to you because you know how fast those are going to sell.
Mm-hmm. I kind of prioritize them that way too.
There's some.
I have so much
properties
on my
further down the list in Nevada. There's some 40 and 80 acre properties down there that I think maybe I'm a little bit more familiar with than you are, just from back in the day.
Right.
And those will, you know, I saw the prices in there that you're buying them for, and it's amazing. Nice work.
Thank you. Cool. So, what is the topic today?
The topic is how the holiday season affects the land business. You know, it's something that you and I talk about, not in front of a microphone, like this. This is what happens. Oh, you know, December's coming, XYZ. You know, January's coming. We need to do this, this, and this different. So I figured we'd just do a whole podcast on it, kind of just tell the world or the six people that listen to the show.
Wait, I heard there's seven.
there's 22, I think. Hopefully during the holidays, we'll get a few more because they're sitting around.
I talked to a guy today that actually said that to me on the phone. Said, hey, Jill, by the way, I'm one of your seven listeners. I said, thank you. Actually, it was Richard in Florida. So when you were listening, Richard, thank you.
What did he say? What did he say about the show?
So just that he loves it. It was really good. And we were just kind of laughing about it because he just said that, I love the show. I was listening. He was on the train, I think, and he was listening on his headphones to the show. And he said, oh, yeah. By the way, I'm one of your seven listeners. Thank you, Richard. That's awesome.
Anyway, how the holiday season affects land business. So, I mean, what do you think, Jill? Just off the top of your head, do you think it's a good thing, a bad thing? Does business speed up? Does it slow down? What do you think?
Here's what seems to happen every year. Every year I think, oh, good, I'm going to get a break. I can relax a little bit. I can catch up. Maybe take a day off. I don't know. You know, kind of thing for the holidays.
Take a day off.
Right. I know. What was I thinking? Well, this is my thing. I keep thinking it's going to happen. I think it's going to slow down. I don't think it's a bad thing because we've had a great year. It's never a bad thing. And we can kind of regroup and then, you know, dive in January. Every December, I'm just as busy. And I scratch my head going, what? You know, but it doesn't seem to change. And especially right now, it's so interesting in our world. People, they're all trying to get out of properties for different reasons at different times. And I think a lot of people are on the holidays. Maybe it's the end of the year. They want this off their plates. And they'd love to have some cash. I'm having no trouble coming up with acquisitions and good ones.
What about sales?
That too. So maybe someone's going to get a piece of land in their stocking. Can you imagine if you open up your stocking? I should do that to you. That'd be hilarious. I'm going to have a stocking in the office with a deed in it.
I got a funny story about that.
Hey, we should give our employees and we'll just do that. Put a deed in there.
So one year, it's a lot of years ago, I gave properties to like have a several professional friends that I had and still have, the same people. That back then, their kids were really little, and so that's what I gave them. I gave their children land.
That's pretty cool.
They did put it in their stocking, and the kids opened it, and they just threw it away and said, "This is silly." But now, I had one guy's son who's out of college now, recently reached out to me and said, "Man, that was just the coolest thing ever." I didn't realize it at the time. Kid, he was like 10, and he said, "This is, you know, thank you."
I think I know who it is.
Yeah, I know you do.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, at the time, they don't get it.
Yeah.
The parents get it. That's a good gift.
So before I did this, before we sat down to do the show, I did like 30 seconds of research on the internet about real estate and the holidays. And this is what I found. I found a bunch of real estate agents writing blogs and all kinds of articles on the internet about how great the holiday seasons are. It's a great time to sell your house. It's a great time to buy your house. And I think, and I would love to have your opinion on this, it's a pile of malarkey, Jill. I think real estate agents are just kind of hyping the whole thing up and saying, oh, it's great, it's great, it's great, it's great. Everything's beautiful and perfect. Because I don't think I have a hard time. Our business goes nuts, all right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes nuts because there's a lot of people with a lot of time on their hands. But I have a tough time believing people are house shopping on December 15th.
You know what? I have to tell you, my only experience is that part of that is true, though.
Okay.
Because years ago in Southern California, my mom sold real estate in Orange County. And she talks about the day after Christmas, no one would be up front to you had to have someone man the phones. It was a first team realty back
then.
This
is in the 30s?
No. You're such a stinker. This was in the 80s. It was in the 80s. Okay. Someone had to man the phones and stuff, you know, for whatever days. Calls would come in. Anyway, no one wanted to do it. She said, fine, December 26th, I'll man the phones. She got so many hot leads that turned into great sales that she volunteered to do that every year.
So do you think it's kind of like, because we all know women make most of the household decisions, thank goodness, but do you think it's because that they have the time?
Maybe.
Let's check it off the list, regardless of the date on the calendar. Let's just check this thing off my to-do list.
Christmas is over. We're going to get in the car. We're all going to go drive around, look at some houses and make some calls or something. I don't know. But,
you know, it's like that week is the week that all the A-list movies get released, mm-hmm. you know, in theaters. So maybe it's because people have time to go see them, I guess.
Or, well, maybe like in her case, maybe the point was that everybody else took the time off. So who's left working gets all the low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it is, I stopped trying to figure it out. I used to see patterns, and it's hard to find the patterns, and it doesn't matter.
So I have 20 years of experience on this topic. I have 20, you know, 20 November, December, and January is under my belt, almost 20. And what I've seen in our business is that to technical people out there who want to kind of start a business on the side, or let's say the Land Academy people specifically, man, they are on fire during that time. Mm-hmm. They love, you know, this is long, long, long before we even started Land Academy or even thought about starting it. They love that time by themselves to really get ahead of the curve.
Mm.
So that's what I've seen. But I haven't, and I think acquisitions never really stop, but December is a great time for acquisitions because if somebody's got a couple pieces of property laying around and they want money for Christmas presents mm-hmm. or whatever they use it, it's great.
It is great.
But sales, I have noticed, and I looked back a little bit before this podcast, sales kind of dip in December, but almost immediately pick up in January.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to agree with you. So it's not dramatic. I mean, it's not like we can shut the doors because the phone's not going to ring.
They'd be great. Why do we do this to ourselves?
Because we like it. I like it. I love it. I love my phone ringing with all this property.
I know. I do too.
It's fun for me. Yes.
I love my job. Do you?
I do. It's not really a job anymore.
No.
No, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle.
Are you writing a commercial?
I think I am. If I was,
hey, aren't you going to be in a play?
It's
like tomorrow
be,
or
it's
or
a
next day?
Saturday night live version of a commercial. If I ever do a commercial, it's going to be something like that. Like they weren't really trying to sell us anything there, were they? That was funny. I am. I'm in two plays on Friday. Two short things.
This Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell us.
No,
let's
move on.
I want to know.
No, really. Yeah, we talked about it before. It's not a big, it's
Are you looking forward to it?
I'm totally looking forward to it.
You have stage fright?
Oh, not at all. Mm-mm. I'm absolutely looking forward to it. I have a rehearsal today to go to, as a matter of fact.
Did you, I mean, do you have a difficult time memorizing lines, or, I mean, is there anything that's comes difficult to you about any of this?
Most of it, it's called off book. When you memorized it, you're off book. So most of it, I'm off book. There's a few parts I get hung up because one of the scenes I have a big, like, it's all about me, and two different people come and go into the scene, and it's really just, it's really all about me. So anyway, I'm like the lead, so I got to carry it for this person, and I got to carry it for that person. So I have to work on that a little bit more, but it's going to be great. I'm excited. It's going to be really fun. You know, after a while, you do step into that character. Mm-hmm. I can see how it happens. I didn't, before I really got into this, I didn't get it. And now I do.
Yeah.
You can really take a step back and step into that character and step into their world, whatever it is. And it might be so different than your normal world. You know, age and demographic and whatever their situation in life is and struggles, but you can kind of start to feel their pain a little bit, and it makes it so much easier. So then when you're having a calm, then when you're acting, the words that come out of your mouth are not your words, they're their words, and it makes it that much easier. So it's, now I'm getting a little off topic.
No, it's okay. Do you have a, I'm going to bring it back in here. Do you have like a character that you use when you talk to people who are selling their property? Do you get into character, or when they're buying, when you're selling property to the end user? You know what I'm saying? Do the skills carry over to what we do here at Landstay and Land Academy?
Well, I'll tell you, it's not Stacy.
There's this person.
Oh, no.
There's this person named Stacy.
Careful.
That lives inside of Jill, and she only comes out under certain circumstances. And
it's all fun. It's not bad. It's not
It's not. It's,
it sounds
it's
like I get mad.
Extreme amount of fun going on.
That's it.
That's when Stacy comes out, and I'll leave that to your imagination.
No. So, no, but you have said that I sound differently depending on who I'm talking to, but I don't have a, you know, Stephen, thank you for asking this. I think one of the reasons that I am who I am and successful in this business is because I try to be myself every single time. And every single person I talked to on the phone, I talk to them like it's my brother, or it's my mom, or it's my uncle, whoever it is that I'm, you know, that person is, I treat them like they're my family, and I'm going to be honest with them and upfront with them. And hey, if it works, great. If it doesn't work, fine. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
So
just everybody, it falls under everybody just wants the truth.
That's right.
I had an old boss when this is like one of the jobs that I had right out of college. And he said, because that was like, I was still behaving like I was in college every single night.
It's still that way. What's changed?
This guy pulls me aside and says, hey, you need to live your life like your grandmother is following you around 24 hours a day with a video camera.
What?
And I thought, and I'm like, you know, I was, you know, pretty wild in college, like I guess most people. And that obviously it stuck with me, and I did. I'm like, man, I got to stop horsing around like this.
That's pretty funny advice. Yeah. It had to be that bad if he had to bring that, give you that kind of a talk. That's really funny. Pretend your grandmother's following you around with a video camera. That's really weird.
Even if my grandmother followed you and I around for a week, she'd be so disappointed.
Oh, very disappointed.
Oh, Steven.
She'd say, how do you guys get anything done? Yeah. Quit goofing off. Yeah. Are you coming in today?
You know what she'd say? Why are you such a messy boy? Don't be a messy boy. She would always say that to me.
Oh, that's interesting.
She was very, everything was really clean.
Oh. My grandmother had a sweet tooth, and so we would like treat each other all the time. It was like, you know, a hot dog for breakfast? Sure, why not? You know, or, you know, it was really funny. Till the end, we snuck her in like her favorite.
Oh, what, it's the greatest.
Like? Some drinks or something. Oh, and this candy that she liked. Oh, she liked those ugly peanut fluffy candies. Remember those gross things? You don't even know what they are.
No, ugly fluffy peanuts.
Oh my God. It's like shaped like a peanut.
That's what, that would be the title of this podcast.
Styrofoam candy.
If we had a guest.
It was like a marshmallowy based. It was awful. I'll find a picture of it.
It's clearly been discontinued for a reason.
Clearly. Yeah, I don't think, you can't find it. Anyway, she liked those. We snuck those in.
Hey, it's nice to talk about grandparents during the holiday and stuff.
Yes, it is. Maybe this is...
Trying to bring it back into the topic.
Thank you. All right, so...
So summarize for us. Summarize how the holiday season affects the land business, Jill. Stacy, Jill.
Now that we're all in agreement that good time for acquisitions. People out there might be needing cash, might be wanting to, for the holidays, might be wanting to get stuff off their books for the end of the year. And they're still staring at that tax bill that they got in November, whatever the reason is. They're calling and they're there. And well, here's one good thing too. I will say, by the way, because I've used this when I'm purchasing a property and maybe it's in the name of, three siblings and they're not necessarily in the same state. I've actually said, are you guys all getting together for the holidays? Because then we can have it all signed at once right then. Seriously.
Oh my gosh.
I have done.
You're the greatest opportunist there ever was. You're using the holidays to get a deal done.
I am.
That's brilliant.
Instead of sending a deed all over the country, because that's a pain, takes time. And I might not want to do it then. But if they're all getting together on December 23rd, I'll have a notary there.
So after two glasses of wine, but before the dessert and before you fall asleep, sign all these legal documents.
Jill's notary's arriving with a check. Seriously. I have
you're
actually
so
said
the
that.
Right
you
sound for me.
You had this look on your face like you're so surprised. Of course I'm gonna think
That's
of that.
Brilliant. I would never have thought of that. Absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. Use the holidays to get a deal done.
Because all the family's together.
That should be the title of this. How to manipulate the holiday season to complete your real estate transaction.
It's just smart. This is the stuff that you and I talk about, that we think of these things. Guys got to think outside the box. How can we get this done? That's my thing.
Guys.
Sorry. Guys. People, you, Steven.
No, I know you're right. That's why I say it.
Okay. So the other thing is, and I like your point too about serious investors, using this time to get ahead of the curve for next year.
Right.
That's true. And yes, sales aren't as excited. As a matter of fact, I haven't done my hump day special for right now. I need to get that out. But I have noticed a few of them they're a little distracted, about mm-hmm. buying. Maybe a little.
Yeah. In the spirit of New Year's resolutions and stuff, that comes into this, our business comes into play pretty seriously. The first, I looked back for the last several years and last many years, and from January 1st to January 15th, and really the whole month of January is a really, really good time to people are getting into the land business, so it's great for Land Academy, and then people are selling their unwanted properties, checking it off the list. So, mm-hmm. In between dusting off the treadmill or eating cotton candy, peanut, whatever you mentioned, or not eating it, I should say, they're trying to get rid of their unwanted land.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. And in tax, before you know it, it's going to be tax season. We'll be talking about that.
Right. Actually, February is tax lien. That's a tax lien deadline for most out west properties, or out west states. Hey, Jill, thanks so much for sharing with us as always.
Welcome.
Join us in the next episode where Jill and I discuss the three biggest mistakes we've made in life and in business. Hey, let's go buy some property.
So I didn't know until this moment what the next episode's about.
I haven't thought about my... Oh, really?
Yeah. Whoa.
I haven't thought about my grandmother in so much, in a lot of time. It was a very nice, warm thought. Sincerely, Jill. Or maybe I brought it up. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It was nice.
It was good. It was tied into you behaving like a college
student.
That's
it.
All the time. You sometimes, you behave like, how can I say this? And I think this is an awesome quality that you have. You often walk around like you just finished your last final. There's a lot of celebrating. Like it's 4 o'clock. Let's go.
I have always been like that.
I can tell. Since I've known you, it's like 4 o'clock. Finals are over. Let's go. Hurry up. Like what? Still have stuff to do.
There's so much fun stuff to do, I mean, that's why we work hard.
You know.
Hey, I am in this office by Probably 90% of the time, 6 days a week, probably by 7 in the morning, mm-hmm. like in sit in front of a computer working.
Well, it's not because you have to; it's because you want to.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. You're,
that's
I'm
just your saying, best time.
You know, work hard, play hard.
You know, I'm in this office 90% of the time by 10 in the morning.
I know.
That's not.
I'm all 6 to 4, and Jill's all 10 to 10.
I'm 10 to 4.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that.
It's okay. That's all right. It's funny. So, no, I was going to say, just add on that real quick. The whole, what I think is really important for everyone to, my dad always said, you know, you can do anything you want, you know, figure it out. And his goal was to have a job where he could work very little and make a lot of money to have fun. He liked that too, right?
Apple from the tree there.
Right. Thank you. So I clearly adopted that. So my dad, of course, became an airline pilot, you know, and, you know, years and years. And it was a great life, a great living. And that was all true. You know, in the end, we, you know, before I retired with American, my brother and I would like go, do you even work anymore? Do you even, would you even show up? You know, because he had so much seniority, he could just pass any trip he didn't want. So he would go 90 days without flying and goof, you know, and get an awesome paycheck.
Every single pilot I know to this day, and I'm thinking right now, I probably know 4 or 5. Every time they have to go to work, they're like, oh, I got to go fly this airplane tomorrow. This is after being off for like 4 days and making a, you know, making a great living.
Exactly.
Because they have a ton of seniority.
Right, they have all the time.
And it just cracks me up. I'm like, yeah, you didn't work for 4 days at all. And right. You have to go work for whatever it is, 10-hour shift or 12 hours or something, and then have 4 days off.
And have a week off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's funny. But so my point with that is that was my life goal too. It was like, you know, I want to do that too. And I didn't start the flying path early enough because who knows where I'd, you know, but this is better anyway. This is still good. So my point is you and I have this lifestyle right now. We love what we do. We do get to go, you know, have a lot of fun and do things whenever we want. We did this by design, and anyone can really do this.
You know, if we never started Land Academy, we would be like done, you know.
Oh.
Like financially and time-wise. I mean, I bet we spend, what do you think, like 80% of our time
right
on Land Academy and probably 20% on Land Stay.
Right.
And all the money comes from Land Stay.
Isn't that funny? But we love it. Well,
yeah,
because
that's what I mean.
But
I love it. I really do. I love it.
Yeah, because you know what? Now we're helping people. We're helping people hopefully reach their goals and have the lifestyle they want following how we did it, because there's plenty of us to go around.
Right.
And that's all I have to say.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
Landacademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.